This is the University Spotlight on KUNR's Beyond the Headlines. I'm General Manager David Stipik. The University of Nevada Press has a more than 50-year history of publishing selected academic and regional interest books in a wide range of authors from our area. In addition to some recent administrative changes, the press has a new leader, whom we'll meet here in just a moment as we discuss the role, direction, and vision of the University of Nevada Press. First, I want to welcome University of Nevada, Reno Provost Kevin Carman to our studios. Kevin, always good to have you with us, sir.
Pleasure to be here, David.
And your guest today is the director of the University of Nevada Press, Justin Race. So Justin, welcome to our campus and in a new role, as well as welcome to KUNR.
Thank you, and thank you for having me.
Kevin, I want to first talk a little bit about the history. It's got a long history here as part of the University of Nevada.
It does. The University of Nevada Press has a rich history in association with the university and the Nevada system of higher education. It was established in 1961 by the Venerable Robert Laxalt of Sweet Promised Land fame. And it resided in the university for several years, and then as the Nevada system of higher education matured, it was administratively moved into the system, but it still stayed literally on the UNR campus. Recently, the system decided, and as a process that they've been looking at various programs that resided in the system, they felt like it made more sense for the press to reside administratively on a campus, even though it already physically resides there, as I said. We had a very cordial and collegial discussion with our colleagues at UNLV and ultimately decided that since the press was already here, that it made sense for it to continue to reside in our campus and administratively report to me as the provost.
And it's still a statewide regional operation.
Absolutely, as is true of so many programs associated with the University of Nevada, Reno and our land-grant mission. We have a statewide mission. We have, a very close collaboration with other NSHE institutions, and in particular UNLV. And so in terms of its fundamental mission, nothing has changed. Really just the reporting lines have changed. But it does, a change like this does create an opportunity, and bringing a bright and very talented person like Justin onto campus is another great opportunity.
Well, that's a good opportunity, Justin, for us to introduce you to our listeners. Again, welcome to our campus, to our state, and to KUNR here. What would people like to know about your background as you take over the reins here of the University of Nevada Press?
Sure. Well, for the last 5 years, I was an acquisitions editor with the Roman and Littlefield Publishing Group, located right outside of D.C., so it's been a big change moving across the country. I drove across with my dog in the back seat, which was a wonderful story for another time. But I'm very happy to be here. I got into publishing a little more than 5 years ago after doing my graduate school work at the University of Chicago. And basically in my second week, the sort of light bulb went off of this is the career I want to spend the next 50, 60 years, however long I can work, being in. So really my goal from that point was to work my way up to director of an esteemed university press, just like Nevada is. So it's a wonderful opportunity. It's something that has been my sort of long-term goal, and I'm very excited to be here.
So far, your early impressions of our state, our region, our campus, what are some things that you're already observing here?
Very favorable. I mean, it's been a major change, you can imagine, going from the East Coast to the West. It's the first time I'm living outside of the East Coast, really. I'm still trying to get my handle on the weather, the fact that at night, three blankets and then the afternoon sweating. So it's been an interesting adjustment in those sorts of ways. But one thing that I've really been touched by is just how welcoming and embracing the community has been. And I think that's really one of the benefits of a smaller state. I will be going to UNLV in just a couple weeks and introducing myself to the cohort and folks down there. But everyone has been just really welcoming and really genuinely wishing for the best success for the press, which I think is very exciting for me going forward.
And once this interview airs, you'll have more of that. Just so you know, your people will, oh, I heard you on the radio. Nice to meet you. So more of that will happen. Kevin, why is this press so important to the university community?
Not all universities have a press. And every press, I think Justin can speak with a greater depth on this topic than I, but every press has its own identity and brings its own set of scholarly credentials and attributes to the university. The university press, in my view, where it brings value to us is there's twofold. There's a traditional mission that it has, and it's basically written in the bylaws associated with the press, that it will serve the state of Nevada and it will serve the region and it will publish literature that is relevant to our state and our region. But as the university emerges into a truly national and international research university, we also see the press as an asset in furthering those aspirations and that helping us establish not only our reputation locally and regionally, but around the world. And that's actually something I'd like to have you comment on, Justin. You've put a lot of thought into this, and one of the reasons that you're here is because of the very compelling case that you made for the future of the press. So maybe you could elaborate on that.
Sure. That's absolutely right. I want to reiterate that, you know, first and foremost, our goal and mission is to publish books on and about Nevada. And in that sense, it doesn't matter if it's women's studies, archaeology, history, political science. If it's a book on or about Nevada and it's well done, we'll be very interested and we'll be interested in publishing that. That said, I mean, for a press only to publish books on Nevada, you know, I like to think of, what if our English department only taught writers from Nevada? What if our history department only taught Nevada history? So, you know, it's this balance of doing books on and about Nevada, cherishing and preserving our culture, our history, our past, as well as using the resources of a nationally, internationally known university press to focus on other disciplines, to give us more of a national and international footprint. Because in a lot of ways, a well-run university press is another way for the university to make its mark. Just this past fall, UNLV and UNR both had record-setting attendance.
Yes, they did.
So I think both institutions are heading in a direction that's more of an international presence, and I think the press can play a major part in that as well.
You have some ideas, Justin, on some themes that might be identified, rather than just necessarily, and individual books will always be a part of that, but you have some ideas about some themes that the press might pursue. Could you comment on those?
Absolutely. Well, we've always had a strong reputation in Bass studies, Native American studies, mining studies, but really what I'd like to deepen is our offerings in environmental studies, and I mean that in the most robust sense possible. Everything from eco-criticism, we have a wonderful eco-critical cohort in our English department here at UNR, to disaster studies. We have, you know, one of the world's leading seismological laboratories, you know, folks I got the chance to meet about a month ago and really enjoyed myself over there. They're doing wonderful work with the Tahoe cameras and everything else going on. You know, forest fires, you can't open a front page without seeing the latest, and that's all tied to the drought. One of the major differences from coming from the East Coast to moving here is these things are very visceral, these environmental concerns. They're right in front of you. They're in your backyard. I mean, I was shocked the first day I stepped out of my apartment and there was smog and smoke in the air. That's something that you just don't experience on the East Coast. I mean, you read about the drought, you read about forest fires, but it's much more immediate here. I mean, Nevada is the most arid state in the nation. We have a tradition of doing books in environmental studies. It's a tradition I'm looking to not only maintain, but deepen in a lot of ways.
And many of those issues that you described, they're major issues for Nevada, for the region, but they are also global issues, and they are issues that will become increasingly global issues as climate change continues and our planet evolves. So I really appreciate your comments on those and your identification of those themes, because those are really the sweet spot of areas that are extremely relevant to us and also are globally significant. And so I think that's just a perfect combination.
You're listening to Beyond the Headlines on KUNR. This is the University Spotlight. I'm David Stipik. We're discussing the University of Nevada Press with the new director of the press, Justin Race, along with our provost, Kevin Carman. Talk about the technology, if you could, a little bit, as well as continuing your conversation of other areas you might want to reach. But we live in a digitally published world today. Where is that? What are traditional presses doing? How are you meeting those challenges as well?
You know, depending upon who you talk to, this is either a time of crisis or a time of opportunity for book publishing in general. And that extends not just to the University of Nevada Press, but to all university presses and to all publishing. I often look to our colleagues in journalism as, you know, cousins. How are they going to figure these things out with paywalls? I think the New York Times just hit its 1 millionth digital-only subscriber. But, you know, I was an undergraduate myself during that time when the internet and technology had this promise of everything was going to be available and everything was going to become free. I think everyone sort of quickly realized that it costs money, time, resources, salaries to produce worthwhile content. So then we sort of transitioned to this period of, okay, we still need quality journalism, we still need quality books, we still need quality research. How do we do that in a fiscally responsible way? Some technology is making our lives much easier. I mean, you can produce a book from start to finish without printing out a single page other than the resulting physical book. But even then, you have ebooks available as well. So it's really made the process more efficient. At the same time, you know, with sort of Amazon changes in consumption, how people are acquiring books, it really is, you know, a time of uncertainty. And I don't think necessarily any university press or any publisher really has got, you know, the smoking gun, has figured it out that, you know, if we could all look to this one press as the gold standard, like they're doing it right, they're doing it in a fiscally responsible way, they're still producing high quality content, let's do exactly what they're doing. So what this means is that, you know, for me as part of that community, as part of the publishing community, along with my fellow scholars, we're all trying various different things and sort of, you know, learning what works and what doesn't work. So it's a very collaborative environment. I think I'm really lucky to be part of an industry. University of Nevada Press is part of the American Association of University Presses. And we're an institution, you know, 600-700 people strong that is really in favor of sharing methods, sharing results, sharing research.
That's one of the great things about higher education in general, I think, is that we're unlike many industries that we take great pleasure in sharing our secrets, and we want to see all each other succeed and help each other out. Justin, so you have to make some choices when you're deciding what to publish. Could you talk a bit about that process of how you decide what books you want to pursue, which ones maybe don't fit the mission of the press, and maybe give us a sense of about how many books per year you might see coming out of the press going forward?
You know, one of the things that fascinated me as an acquisitions editor, starting out in this industry, was that a lot of it's detective work, right? There's people out there all over the world writing wonderful books. Part of your challenge as an acquisitions editor is to find them, identify them, gain their trust, establish a relationship, because at the same time, they have lots of other publishers they could potentially go to, so you have to make the case, why should you publish with me? And it takes time. I mean, a lot of what I've been doing these first 3 months on the job is a lot of networking, a lot of reaching out, just talking with people, trying to get a sense for what they feel is going to be the next big thing in the discipline, and then trying to identify the scholars who are working in those areas. You know, once you have those sort of exploratory conversations, you move towards a phase where you're looking for more concrete proposals. You know, who's actually working on a book right now? You know, and that's a whole process of submitting a proposal. It's evaluated. So once you identify those projects and, you know, you greenlight the proposals, then they go through the peer review process, which is essential for all university presses. It's really the central quality control check to where now, especially with technologies, authors have the ability to self-publish. You know, you can just get your book out there on Amazon. Why you should go with the university press, it's that vetting mechanism to where if you pick up one of our books and you see our logo on the spine, you know, Nevada with the little mountains, that means something. It means it went through a whole process. It was evaluated by several experts. It went through revisions, high production, high value content and quality.
Remind us again then about how many books a year would you expect to produce?
Yes. Yeah. Historically, the press has recently been doing about 12 to 15 generally new titles a year. Part of what I'm trying to do is not just improve the quality of all our books, but also offer more books to have a stronger presence in the fields that we publish in. So instead of having one or two books in this particular discipline per year, maybe get that up to three or four, five or six. And key to that will be establishing various book series, something I'm already looking into.
What about fiction and things that sort of fall out of that realm? Do you see the press having a presence in fiction and other types of genre?
Well, historically, I mean, as Kevin mentioned at the start of this interview, our founder is the esteemed Robert Laxalt, you know, publishers of, I believe, 17 books, including Sweet Promised Land, which is internationally renowned. So that really is in our core DNA. Recently, we have been doing one or two works of fiction or memoir per year. That's something I want to continue. I'm already looking into partnering with various institutions and groups to perhaps start a fiction prize. This is one of the very central ways that a small press like ours can continue to make a real big impact in a field as competitive as fiction.
What are some of the immediate goals that you have? What are some things you want to make sure you get accomplished here in the near future?
Well, you know, I want to really give great credit to my staff back in the office. You know, I work with four incredibly talented people, and anyone who's ever been in any sort of position of leadership knows that you only do as well as the people you're working with. So I really feel blessed that I have those four, you know, helping me out, undertaking all these goals. We've already done an extensive internal workflow review, looking for opportunities to be as efficient as possible, and we've already implemented many changes. So, you know, this has been, you know, as Kevin said, a time of sort of transition, you know, administratively. Even though we're still publishing the same type of content, there has been some turnover recently, you know, with a new director. So I'm really relying on the folks back in the office to, you know, all work together, all hands on deck. You know, because we're so small and nimble, it really allows us to just sort of gather in a room and make decisions immediately. You know, is this working? Is this how we've always done things? Why? Is there a better way we can do it? And we've already made a lot of changes on that front.
How are these projects funded?
We are funded in part by the University of Nevada, Reno, and also we generate a tremendous amount of revenue from our books sales, front list and backlist as well.
even more incentive to actually select books that have some appeal.
That's right. That's right. I mean, when we're evaluating projects, it's not just the strength of scholarship and the quality of writing, but also it's fiscal sustainability.
Is there a market for this?
There is a market for this. Exactly.
All right. Kevin, you've obviously selected someone who's got a lot of passion here, the search committee and the process that brought Justin to us here. What are your goals for Justin and the press as you see this moving forward in kind of a new chapter that was not intentional, but a new chapter for the University of Nevada Press?
Well, you mentioned one key thing there that I want to emphasize, that Justin is here as a result of a national search, and we had a very strong pool of candidates, and Justin emerged from that pool of candidates as a clear choice for us. And so he brings to us the type of experience and background that I think is going to provide us the opportunity to really blaze new trails for the press. I will admit that I didn't know a lot about the press, and this was a relatively new venture for me as well, so I'm looking to Justin to help educate me and help me learn about how I can help the press and how the press can help the university. But I really see it being an important part of our overall portfolio as a university as we emerge into a nationally and internationally recognized a place of scholarship. The press is a critical component of that, and I'm excited to see how it evolves.
All right. That wraps up today's University Spotlight on KUNR's Beyond the Headlines. I'm KUNR General Manager David Stipik. We've been discussing some recent changes and reshaping of the University of Nevada Press under its new director, Justin Race. Justin, all the best to you in your new role and with the press and also here in our Silver State. We welcome you to our area.
Thank you. It's a pleasure being here.
And again, thanks for being with us today. And leading the conversation once again today has been University of Nevada, Reno Provost Kevin Carman. Kevin, always glad to have you over here, and you always bring great guests with great things happening on campus. Thanks again.
Well, we have a lot to choose from, and it's just wonderful to have the opportunity to share the many varied aspects of our great university. Thank you.
Right. Thanks for coming. And this is KUNR. I'm David Stipik. Thanks for listening to Beyond the Headlines.